In this episode, we are talking with published poet, author, and playwright Stephen Mack Jones. Stephen's first novel is August Snow, with its sequel, Lives Laid Away. Stephen was born in Lansing, Michigan, and currently lives in Farmington Hills, just outside of Detroit. Hi, Stephen.
Hey.
How are you? I'm good. How are you?
I'm fine. Thank you, Ellen.
Thank you for sitting down and talking with us today. For those listeners who haven't read your book, can you give us, or books, because there's two now, right?
The second one just came out. Right.
It's August Snow and then Lives Laid Away.
Yes, correct.
Most recent one. Can you give us a little, not snippet, but a brief plot summary, but no spoilers?
Oh, of course.
Those who haven't read the books.
Well, let's start with the character himself, August Snow.
Mm-hmm.
August lives in southeast Detroit, and that's commonly called Mexican Town.
Mm-hmm.
And August himself is half African-American, half Mexican-American.
Okay.
His father was African-American cop on the Detroit police force. And his mother was generally known as a painter, a portrait painter.
Mm-hmm.
So he's the product of those two cultures. And might I add, cultures that haven't classically, historically gotten along very well. But he's very comfortable and very proud of his cultures. He's an ex-Marine, and he was fired from the Detroit police force for investigating malfeasance in the mayor's office.
Oh, okay.
So the first book, which is August Snow, essentially concerns bank fraud,
mm-hmm.
Bad offshore money coming mm-hmm. onshore. And the second book is more personal because it's August investigating missing persons, people that go missing after they've been detained by ICE.
Oh, okay.
So it's a story of human trafficking, and that's about it.
Yeah. Like I said, don't say too much. You don't want to give things
away. Oh, of course.
Wow. So that's some, like, heavy-hitting stuff that you deal with. That's incredible. And what was your inspiration while you were working on these books?
It's hard to say. There were several sources of inspiration. Mm-hmm. And one, the character is based off of someone that I would like to be.
Yeah.
Someone who is selfless and heroic and funny, all of those things.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not.
Well, I've only known you for a short time, and I would disagree, but continue.
Well, thank you very much. Thank you. And also, it's based on, well, I've said this before, and it's nevertheless true,
mm-hmm.
that he is the product of, like many of us, he's the product of those nameless heroes
mm-hmm.
that raised us.
Yeah.
Our parents, our fathers, our mothers who don't really want any fame or glory other than raising a good child.
Right.
Someone that knows what their responsibilities are, not only to themselves, but to their community, to people that they know or don't know.
Right.
So the people that make every effort to set us on a true north path.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of my tribute to my folks.
Oh, that's beautiful. Because you're a poet, right?
I used to be. I don't write poetry now, only because it's so easy to be a bad poet. it's just, oh gosh. I think I was fairly good.
Yeah.
But fairly good in poetry is not good at all.
That's where I lie in the poetry realm, is the not good at all box. I tried very hard.
Well, I love reading poetry, and the great poets make it seem simple. They make it seem easy, like, you know, Pablo Neruda and Federico Garcia Lorca and Nikki Giovanni. Mm-hmm. They all make it read so easily, and there's so much warmth and gravitas to what they do. And then I sit down, and it's like Ronald McDonald trying to write a sonnet. You know, it's bad.
Yeah, the furthest I get now is because I'm a children's librarianist, so at story time. At the end, there's always this rhyming thing where you try to think of rhymes to go with the stories that we told.
Right.
And I always struggle every time. I'm like, what rhymes with friend? And I always just go with end. So that's where I am.
The end, kids. Okay, go home now.
All right, great. Well, I brought it up because just in your description of your inspirations, it was very like poetic sounding.
And well, thank you.
I can
you.
Tell, like, you know, how sometimes you just
thank
get
you.
That from people. So now we've gotten into that. We're going to just go into some questions about your own personal reading style and opinions. So typically, what is your favorite genre to read?
You know, that's a very hard question. I enjoy reading mysteries.
Obviously.
Well, actually, I started off as a kid reading Marvel comic books.
Oh, okay.
When they were actually comics.
Right.
And moved into science fiction. I loved science fiction. And then college came along, and I thought it was time to put away childish things and start reading, you know, Camus and Proust and all of those guys. Is anybody yawning yet? Yeah. Yeah, that's what I did for 2 years in college. But I always come back to mysteries, you know, Agatha Christie and Dashiell Hammett and, you know, Mr. Mosley, Walter.
I, too, always go back to mysteries. Whenever I'm in, like, a reading slump, I have to pick a, like, thriller or a mystery to, like, get me re-hooked.
Right,
you know.
Well, it's like doing a jigsaw puzzle with your mind.
Right, exactly. So what authors and books would you consider to be your biggest influences?
Again, that's really a tough question. I absolutely love Kurt Vonnegut.
Mm-hmm.
His twisted, cynical way of seeing the world, and also his hopeful way of seeing the world. You know, when you're down with a cold or the flu or something like that, nothing feels better than an Afghan or a cup of tea. Agatha Christie.
Yeah.
You know, that's there's nothing like blood and guts in the English countryside.
Right. Perfect for a cold day.
Exactly.
Exactly.
Ray Bradbury is one of my favorites because of the way he used words and his compassion.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, poets, the Spanish poets, maybe adding Seamus Heaney and Bob Kaufman.
Yeah.
So it's they're all my favorites.
Right. I mean, I'm a firm believer you don't need one favorite, even though that's like the definition of one favorite.
Right.
You could have multiple.
What book would you take to a desert island? You know, I don't know. So don't strand me on that desert island.
Probably like a very thick book that you could use for like survival needs.
Yes, yes, exactly.
The kindling for fire.
Well, read that page.
So I'm sure you've had a very busy year with the, you know, release of your new book.
Yes.
But what's the your favorite book or the top book that you've read in the past year? If you've had time to, you know, sit down and read a lot.
Yeah, that's the problem. Writing doesn't leave a lot of time, at least for me, to read.
Yeah.
That being said, I would highly suggest Lou Burney's November Road.
Okay.
And another Detroiter's nonfiction book, The Poison City, Anna Lee Clark.
Okay.
In fact, do you mind if I put in a little, what would you call it?
Plug?
Plug, thank you.
Please do.
There's a lot of good work coming out of Detroit.
Yeah.
Anna Lee Clark, as I mentioned, The Poison City.
Mm-hmm.
One of Marvel's mightiest super writers, as I call him, Saladin Ahmed, is just kicking up a storm at Marvel.
Oh, I have no idea.
So, yes, yes. He's brilliant. Michael Zadorian, his book, Beautiful Music. So, there must be something going on in the atmosphere, the water, maybe all the good food that's feeding these folks.
Yeah, no, I lived in Detroit for about a year and a half, and it was like one of the most inspirational times of my life. Like,
yes.
You just fall in love with the city. So it's not surprising to me that all of these great things are coming out of it.
Yes, yes.
All right. So this is a question that isn't in the past year. It's ever your whole life. So what is the scariest book you've ever read?
Probably Frankenstein, Mary Shelley's Frankenstein, and a nonfiction history book called Dark Bargain, which was about essentially how the Constitution was written so as to permit slavery. So those two books put a chill in me.
Yeah, scary, but both in different ways.
Yes, yes. I'm not very good at scary books. I'm not real good at Stephen King.
Mm-hmm.
He scares the bejesus out of me. you know.
Yeah.
The only book that I've read of his that didn't scare me is his book on writing, which is wonderful.
Yeah. I started it and I got halfway through and then I couldn't finish it.
Yeah, no, I need to get a solid 8 hours.
Right. All right. So what is the longest book you have ever read, either by length, time you took to read, or it feeling long? You can choose which.
It's got to be somewhere between Ulysses and As I Lay Dying. Is that's Faulkner?
Yes.
Yeah. Faulkner was just like climbing Mount Everest backwards. Yeah.
I think that's very fair. Sorry to all of those that love those books. So what is the strangest book you've ever read?
Oh, that's pretty easy. The strangest book I ever read, and I forget the writer's name, but it was the book that was based that the film followed. Mm-hmm. Last Year at Marienbad.
I don't know that.
It is a French author, and I believe they made the movie from, I think Jean-Luc Godard directed the movie. But it's just the same party in Marienbad that is reshot with different perspectives.
Mm-hmm.
It's not even like a Rashomon. It's just this this mess of French absurdism.
Right.
That's the kind of book that puts you off reading for a while.
Well, the real question is, did you like the movie better than the book?
Well, I had the same reaction to the movie as I did with the book, which was, what the hell is this?
You're like, well, there's 2 hours of my life.
Exactly.
have you ever been given a bad recommendation, a bad reading recommendation?
I'm sure I have. I can't recall any specific one where a good friend or family member says, oh, you have to read this.
Mm-hmm.
But no, I really can't think of any.
So it must not have been that bad that it didn't leave like a lingering like wound within you.
or I've just blocked it completely.
That is also true.
And now you're forcing me to relive that moment.
We get real here. what is your go-to classic?
Wow. That is a tough one.
Or one of, I can say.
Well, I guess my go-to classic for mystery would be The Maltese Falcon. But if you're talking something considerably older, like Lysistrata, I'm coming up blank.
You can just say the Iliad will accept. No. Or the Odyssey.
Yeah, I'm still waiting for that to come out on film. You know,
so we kind of touched base on this, but is there an example for you of the movie being better than the book?
Oh, wow. You know, that's a great question.
Because typically the books are better. But occasionally, I make the argument the movie outdoes the book.
No, you're absolutely right. And I wish I had I could think of an example. Because there are great examples out there.
Mm-hmm.
Where the screenwriter actually did a better job than the author.
Yeah.
Which I really hate to say. But yeah, I'm sure that there are examples. Mm-hmm. You know, I will leave here, you know, I'll email you in 2 weeks with a complete list.
And I can just add it in there.
Right, exactly.
You're going to wake up at like 2 a.m. in a cold sweat and remember the answer.
Yeah, I hated that book, but the movie, wow.
So we're almost done. I have a couple of more questions.
Okay.
This one is a hot take. Do you judge books by the cover?
Oh, yes. Yes, absolutely.
Me too.
Isn't that shallow?
It's very.
I mean, I know that we like to think of ourselves as intelligent people when we, you know, go to a bookstore, go to the library and I want something that's deep and rich. And you look at the cover and it's like, ooh, there must be naked people in this. Or, wow, there's a lot of gunfire in this one.
Right. Like, this one has an explosion on the front. But
exactly. Exactly. that's human nature.
Right. And were you a reader growing up? Did you enjoy reading? Oh, and what's the first book that you remember reading?
Oh, my goodness. Yes, I was raised in a house that put a premium on reading. Mm-hmm. As I've said to folks before, my father didn't finish high school, but he was always reading. He always had a book in his hand.
Yeah.
Anything from Eastern European Jewry during the late 19th century to picking stocks on Wall Street to the Japanese internment during Japanese American internment during World War II. Everything. He read everything.
Yeah.
My mom read quite a bit, but she was more musically inclined. She loved opera.
Yeah.
And as far as the earliest book that I can remember, it was the Mike Mars series about an astronaut trainee.
Mm-hmm.
And when he flew the X-15, that was exciting.
Did you want to be an astronaut when you grew up at the time?
Well, I wanted to be an astronaut, a cowboy, a doctor, a talk show host, all of those things.
I want to be a dog, so at least those are actually like human professions.
You know, that's cool. That is cool.
I pretended to be a dog and I'd walk around the house when I was a kid.
Wow. You don't have to worry about anything.
Right.
You know, your food is provided.
Sleep all day.
Find that sunspot in the living room. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh. I tried doing that like last week when it was sunny and I laid down on the floor and tried to take a nap there and I woke up and my whole body hurt. So. All right. And our last question is, what are you reading right now?
I am reading,
if anything,
I am reading the third manuscript for another August Snow.
Ooh.
Adventure.
It's
at this point in time, it's a tough read.
I was gonna say, it's so quick. The second one just came out.
Well, yeah, in publishing. You know, books are in the pipeline way before they reach the library shelf or the bookshelf.
Mm-hmm.
So the final manuscript for Lives Laid Away was delivered in June or July of last year.
Okay.
My editor at Soho, which is a wonderful publishing company,
mm-hmm.
My editor was so excited that she said, ooh, this is good. We got it going. That's tremendous. How's the third one going? And, you know, I lied and said, oh, yeah, it's going great.
Finished with it.
Really? Where have you been? But yeah, that's essentially my reading now.
Well, that is all the questions I have for you. Thank you so much for taking the time and talking to us today.
Oh, this has just been wonderful. Thank you.
It's been a true pleasure. We asked some readers to call in and tell us about their favorite books. Listen on for some of their responses.
One of the not well-known books that I really enjoy are Modesty Blaze novels. It was a cartoon in the Free Press back in the 60s and 70s. It's about the ending of World War II and Modesty Blaze. She's My Idol, written by Peter O'Donnell.
What is your favorite book that no one has ever heard of? It's the one I'm currently writing that will never be released, probably for my own benefit.
My favorite book that no one else has heard of is probably The Art of Making Money, which is all about counterfeiting.
For more AADL podcasts, visit aadl.org/podcasts. Thanks for listening.